Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, euphemisms for motorcycle. I went down a wormhole this week because I've been busy. So obviously, as anyone who works at home, which I guess a lot of people at the moment still, you know, the more busy you are, the more that your brain goes, hey, let's hop on YouTube and watch the title sequences from 80s TV shows for a bit, because that'll be productive.
I'm so glad
which is
it's
what I did.
Not me.
Oh, I hope it's everyone.
I'm hopeless.
So that's what I was just watching. I was like, 80s theme tunes, that'll inspire me to actually get on with the work I'm being paid for.
I watched the opening credits to Spender the other day because I couldn't remember what it looked like. It was awful.
I couldn't describe any part of the Spender titles to you.
It was like really rubbish sort of billboards that people were walking past on the street, and there was no vision of the Sierra Cosworth, which I thought, well, that's shit, because I was expecting a really sullen-looking northern man in a shiny suit drashing a Sierra Sapphire around, but no, alas not.
Who was it? Somebody described Jimmy Nail as having a face like an old shoe. And I don't think that's ever been bettered. He sort of does, doesn't he? He's just sort of leathery and worn in the face.
Oh, completely. He just looks massively pissed off all the time. I mean, he might actually be massively pissed off all the time. In fact, he might still drive around as if he's on the set of a very late 80s, early 90s kind of gritty cop drama set in the north of England.
Was that like Sierra Sapphire not being constantly stolen during filming? Like they'd wrap for the day and leave the Sierra sort of at their unit base and they'd come back the next morning and they'd gone. But then, now I might be getting this wrong, but let's run with it.
I bet it was.
Jimmy Nail knew some people.
Unsavoury friends.
Yeah, and so he would put in a couple of quiet words with some people that he knew, and it would usually get returns.
Do you know
I
what?
Think that's the story.
I might bring that up next time I chat to Jason Plato, because of course he grew up in and around New Essel, and maybe
did he?
He's from the northeast. Nobody seems to know that.
I didn't know that. Potatoes from the northeast.
Potatoes from Geordieland.
I thought he was a Midlander.
No. See, I thought that too when I first met him. I thought he was sort of Brummy circumference, but no, he isn't.
Brummy circumference. Are you from Birmingham? No, more sort of Brummy circumference. Which is, I mean, I know the area you mean as
different.
Well. Yeah. It is.
But he's not. And one of the first things he said to me when we introduced ourselves when we first started working together was,
why I? Was that one of the first things
he said? Yeah, he said, why I, pet? And then
paused. Nah.
And then when he said about Newcastle, I said, oh, that's cool. I keep meaning to go up and see the Get Carter car park. And he went, oh, well, just outside the Get Carter car park, my dad was the first person in the world to write off an Austin Allegro when they first came out just down that road.
Oh, well, I know that story. I've had a rendition, because I don't really know Potato, and you do, but when the last time that we were together and we saw him, I got a live rendition of that Allegro story.
Which is a great story.
Which is a great story. But he didn't drop in the detail. Oh, by the way, this was in Newcastle. I just assumed it was in Birmingham for some reason. Well, for the reasons given above, that
good
I thought
British
he was
Leyland.
A Brummy adjacent man. But and also, yeah, it's a BL car, you think. I don't know. I assumed.
That's funny, isn't it? We all assume that. Just like you assume certain radio DJs might have beards when they don't. It's
yes.
The same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Plato's accent sounds a bit Midlandsy, though. It's funny, he doesn't sound Geordie to me. I'm going to have to listen more carefully now.
Shall I ask him again and say, listen, be honest, are you really from the northeast originally?
How does he say the name of the largest city in the northeast? Does he say Newcastle or Newcastle?
Is it Newcastle? So it's there's no.
Well, I mean, if you're proper Geordie, I suppose, but it's just even if you're posh Geordie and you keep your Geordiness hidden, the way that you say Newcastle, the emphasis in Newcastle is a giveaway.
Keep your Geordiness hidden.
Yeah. Stop! No. Undercover Geordie! Oh, I had no idea. Well, you D-N-A. yeah. Well, sorry to anyone from Newcastle listening for that absolutely shit-awful impression of a Geordie accent. But, yes, the way you say Newcastle, Newcastle. Newcastle. I can't do it now.
Newcastle.
All right. I don't know if this counts as racism, but it feels like it might. What were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah, no, I was talking about watching 80s title sequences, and something that I realised that I had to go back and watch over and over is in the titles for Magnum PI, which has got a very excellent theme tune as well.
It's very high-energy theme.
Oh, my God. The only thing that beats it for 80s theme tune energy is Dempsey and Makepeace, which has got the most deranged slap bass in it you've ever heard. It's like the bloke's thumb afterwards must have been bleeding. And there's an extended version of Dempsey and Makepeace theme tune, and it goes on for ages. And you think, oh, it's peaked now. Oh, Christ, it hasn't. And there's a... slap bass.
The bassist has to swap thumbs halfway through because it's just throbbing and bleeding like you've hit it with a ball-peen hammer.
Magnum, good energy to it. And there's a bit where Magnum PI, brackets Tom Selleck, he gives a look to camera and then floors it in his Ferrari 308 GTS on grass by the side of a road.
And, yes, he does. I know that.
And he has to bang in a lot of opposite lock to keep things tidy as it then goes. And you know what it's like as well. You know when you get some wheel spin going on grass and then you go onto tarmac.
Oh, it goes from loose to tight.
You've got to be on top of things in that situation because that sort of suddenly low friction to much higher friction surface can cause all manner of issues. And what impressed me about it was...
Especially with a tight steering box.
Yeah, yes, a non-pass car from the 80s with and mid-engines. There's a lot of things there where you just go... And it's obviously Tom Selleck because it's a sort of medium close-up of his face that then you see the car going off down the road and there's no squirreling. He keeps it pretty neat. And I thought... That's an underrated bit of driving there from TV's Tom Selleck. I wonder how handy Tom Selleck was behind the wheel. I sort of like to think perhaps he was quite useful.
It all comes down to the shorts. It's the driving shorts, I would suggest. everyone knows you can probably increase your wheelsman game by 10%. If you wear a fairly kind of snug-fitting sports shorts.
Sport 70s sports shorts. Oh, sorry. God. I beg your pardon.
I couldn't even keep a straight face as I was saying that. Thinking, just total bollocks that I'm talking about.
I think you mean a 70s sports
shorts. Sports shorts. Hang on, people talk about driving gloves. People talk about like driving shoes. No one has ever talked about driving shorts ever.
I'll just pop on my driving trousers. No.
Shorts? No.
I don't think so. I do think I'll start that again because I don't know where I was going with that at all. What I was going to say was I've mentioned this on the show a few weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again. Jason Barlow's new Bond Cars book, which I've got. And I've been enjoying at my leisure. And there was a bit I read in it the other day where they were saying that Roger Moore was a good driver. And I was I just enjoyed reading that. It was satisfying.
That was it? There was no more embellishment on the subject?
No, it was just a plain blank page with just Roger Moore was a good driver written down the middle of it.
Maybe that was a polite way of saying that Timothy Dalton just used to crash everything that he went near.
Yeah, fucking Dalton, Mr. Light Panel Damage, as he was known on set, for constantly Just move the Land Rover over there, would you, Tim? Yes, no problem at all. Oh, sorry, I had it in reverse and I didn't realise, and I've just backed it into.
Oh, he started it in gear, that thing. It's just lurched into a load of expensive camera gear.
That reminds me of
starter.
There was someone I used to work with. I won't name them because that's cruel, but there was someone I worked with on Top Gear who was famous for low speed accidents and of an awkward nature. Not one of the on screen talent. Someone who worked behind the scenes, and one of his finest moments was we filmed the Nissan GTR in Japan when it was brand new, and it was so new they didn't really have any GTRs to lend out, but we really, really, really wanted to film one, and we had quite a narrow window to go over to Japan and do it. So,
of course you did, because it's
Mr.
TV.
GTR lent us his personal car, which was one of the very first ones, production spec, and he agreed to lend it to us. And they were just getting ready to film, all setting up in this car park at the start. We're going to do one of those race things. Just rigging everything, you know, and you know what it's like. A load of TV crews hanging around. There's lots of fiddling and faffing, and it takes forever to set up. During which, this unnamed member of the production team got into one of the crew vans and backed it up and backed it into the GTR star car.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Not massively. Oh. Again, low speed.
What, owned by Mr. GTR and not even out yet?
He had to write. He wrote to Mr. GTR to apologise personally for doing it, because it was suggested this would be a good thing to do, because, you know, particularly in Japan
these things are frowned upon.
Well, yeah, and just taking responsibility and the apology counts for a lot. So yeah, he personally wrote to, I can't remember, what's the guy called, Mr. GTR? I can't remember his name now.
Do you know, I bloody knew you were going to say that.
And GTR,
I've actually interviewed him twice. And I still can't remember his name. That's bad, isn't it? Hang on. Let me just Google it, because I feel like a
I don't know. For the purposes
goon.
Of this, just call him Steve GTR. Anyway, yeah, so this guy scuffed Mr. GTR's personal GTR, and I had to write a letter
bad.
To say sorry for it.
Oh, I've got to look up his name, because it's annoying me now, and people are going to be shouting.
Yeah,
at
that's
the screen, or not even the screen, whatever they're shouting at, something device. Oh, I tell you what, I could quickly change the subject. I was pulling a car out of a garage at the weekend.
Of course you were.
A friend of mine ended up buying a car that I'd been tipped off about, a bereavement in a family. Car's been in the family since forever. Hasn't
you're
been
you're
garage
a terrible vulture
years.
For stuff like that, aren't you? You're
I absolutely love it. I love the thrill of the chase. I like the history delving. I mean, this is particularly fascinating. It's not. I won't tell you what car it is yet, but I'm going to do a video on it on the Late Break show. But needless to say, not an exotic car, but very well preserved. And used to be owned by a guy that was a safety engineer in nuclear power stations. So quite a risk-averse guy, I would say.
You hope so, yeah.
And quite fastidious in the detail, as we found out as we flicked through the service books and the notepads that were in there, just talking about every squeak and rattle and thing.
Really?
Everything was labelled. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. There were second-hand parts with little labels on. Labels about the size of your thumbnail that had a sentence written on it in tiny pens saying, still works, slightly faulty, but I've kept it because it might be good in case the other one goes wrong. April 1984.
Bloody
everything
hell.
Was dated. Everything was month and year dated. Everything. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Anyway, we were there and we were in Elstree, which is classed as Hertfordshire, I think, isn't it? Which is the home? Is it the home of the British film and TV industry? I think it's classed.
It's as. Yeah, it's one of those places that, because there's two quite big studios there. So in Boreham Wood, yeah. I was there last week, actually. Weirdly, when were you? Was this last week?
I was there. Was there on Sunday or Saturday? Yeah, it was damn cold. That's all I know.
I was on there making a TV show last week. It's good. The Elstree Studios, like, there's two. There's BBC Elstree, where they do EastEnders and stuff, and then there's Elstree Studios, which is separate and independent, where they do a lot of movies. And they did sort of Star Wars, various Star Wars
movies. They did Star Wars,
Indiana
Jones
movies. Yeah, I went up there because we were doing a TV show on one of the studios or stages. It's very filmy. They call them stages. Stage 9. Stage 9.
I kind of want them to be an actual stage, you know, with a really sort of dusty curtain.
What, like a proscenium arch?
Yes.
Yes, we shot all of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom in the proscenium arch. We did it very much like a school play, and it turned out well. but I got lost. I missed the turning for the underground car park where my assigned space was, and I went accidentally up to the back where there's a vehicle workshop, and there were loads of really interesting cars up there. I guess from different movies. I couldn't sort of place what films they were from, but they were like some old Ford Explorers that were all smashed up. And there was a little Alfa Giulia GT and things. And I wanted to take some pictures. But, you know, when you're sort of in that environment and you're there because you're working, it's a bit unprofessional to do that. So
just have to rely on the fact that people are telling the truth when they regale these stories. And I do believe you. And it is a shame you can't take the pics, but you've got the memories. And I've never actually been to any of the Elstree Studios, I don't think. I've been to Pinewood, but I've not been there.
I went to the BBC one years ago because my wife used to work there briefly. And what struck me about that is once you were through the door, which was quite easy because I had a BBC ID card, so I just basically let me in and I was just collecting my wife, how badly secured it was, and you could just wander about.
What?
Yeah, apparently if you know where you're going, you can wander onto the EastEnders set. Or you used to be able to. I think they've secured it a bit more because people, like, they used to do Top of the Pops up there in the later days of Top of the Pops, and you'd get all these teenagers just wandering into Albert Square and nicking stuff, so they had to secure it a bit more. But you can still roam about, and I went into a corridor where they'd got the props rooms for Casualty in Holby City,
of course,
and I stuck my head through this door and there was this woman there, and I was like, this is interesting in here, and there's all these like massive Tupperware boxes on shelves, and it was all like fake severed limbs and shit. And
of course, from injured people,
yeah,
on
it was
a hospital-based drama.
And I went, this is a bit grim. And she was like, oh, it's okay, it's just the limb room. And she showed me a couple of things in jars that were, like, you know, a severed hand and stuff.
Oh, sugar.
But also, there's great history to both of those studios. The BBC one didn't used to be owned by the Beeb. They only bought it in the 80s to make EastEnders there. Before that, it was ATV, and they made Alfie Zane Pet there and stuff like that. But they also used to do the Muppet Show.
That's going
show.
Back to Jimmy Nail.
Yeah, Jimmy Nail. There we go. So everything's
That's
circular.
When he was really liked, I think. And now I get the impression that he's not so liked.
that was when the shoe was less worn in.
What, the crocodile shoe?
The crocodile shoe.
He sung that song describing his own face.
Yeah, the original title was Miserable Old Geordie Shoe. Anyway, a friend of mine went to look around one of the studios in what's now the BBC place, and I can't remember what the studio number is, but it's not important. There's a hole in the floor, which is, you know, one of those trapdoor things you can do stuff, and that was where they did some of those famous Morecambe and Wise shenanigans with, like, you know, Angela Rippon falling through the floor or whatever, or Andre Previn or something. And then my mate looked around and went, there's a weird little sort of balcony thing up on the wall. What, that's not normal thing you'd see in a studio, what's that? And they went, oh, that's that used to be where Statler and Waldorf sat for the Muppet Show.
You're joking.
Yeah, my mate was just like,
It's the heckling balcony.
Yeah, it's the heckling balcony. And it's proper TV history up there.
that's really
like that sort of thing.
I'm totally into that.
I was
dragging this car out of the garage that was the house was being sold and emptied by the children of the chap that passed away who owned it. And, of course, they used to go on holidays and all sorts in this particular car. And there's two reasons why I'm telling you this. It's because, first reason, the guy pulled up in a really nice 991-911 Carrera S with some interesting options on it.
Mm. And such as?
It had those wheels that are the wide five spokes with the painted centres.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they can look all right.
I haven't... Yeah, and I haven't seen many of those. The car was either black or extremely dark grey, but I think it was black. There were just a couple of bits about it that I thought, that's quite cool. And we were cracking on and it was freezing cold. Mm. And he made us a fantastic coffee. And when he came out to give us the coffee, I was saying, oh, I really like your car. He said, well, actually, it's you're the reason why I bought that car. I said, what? He said, yeah, the videos that you do with Rich Porter, the Smith & Sniff videos, I watched the one where you reviewed the 992 and you were driving all around the Barnet kind of area of Greater London. I went, yeah. He said, well, you drove past my wife's sort of... where my wife grew up, where I think you were pointing at fly tipping. I was sort of joking.
My wife is the area's leading fly tip.
Yes, I was thinking, I wasn't expecting this chat. And then he said, well, I think you ended it with the verdict where you both said it was a great car, but you mentioned, you said, well, I think I'd probably be perfectly happy with the outgoing 991. And... he said, after that, I'd been debating whether to buy, like a two-year-old 991 or get a 992. He said, I'd never owned a 911 before. I'd been kind of saving up. He's like 49 years old, maybe 48. And so he decided to buy a three-year-old one with these particular options. And he said, I'm so chuffed with it. Mm. So I was like, oh, that's cool. It gave me a bit of a warm feeling inside. And then we carried on chatting. And I noticed the house opposite looked very jingle jangle. this was quite a nice, suburban, well-to-do street, I suppose, that's changed over the years, according to the older neighbours. And they were like, well, of course, that's Gino De Campo's house over there.
What?
And I was like, oh, is it? Okay. So, and I said, well, he doesn't live there anymore. He's recently moved out, but he was the one that did the whole house up. It didn't used to look like that. I went, okay, Gino's. They said, yeah, he used to own a deli on the high street, quite well known in the area when he became famous. And then there was a bit of a pause. And he went, well, of course, and he got all the builders to do stuff on the cheap. So that he had a swimming pool put in the back garden with like a pool house type thing. And he said, it's all subsided. And
was Gino De Campo's house constantly being ironically burgled by Paul Young?
This is the thing.
You have to look that one up if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, because this is what came into the conversation, is what I was about to say, because I had no knowledge of this. And then after them saying about the builders doing stuff on the cheap, and he bought like a 12-foot square pizza oven that had to have a massive crane to crane it over the house to put in the back garden, which probably cost, I don't know, 50 grand or something, yeah, just to hire the crane. They went. Well, he's of course he's done prison time, Gino. I said, what? Gino's been in prison. I said, yeah, before he was famous. And as you now know, because you just said what you said, I didn't realise he got caught stealing guitars from Paul Young's house. '80s pop star Paul Young.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? I had no idea. And also, I think immediately the second thing that came into my mind was, I didn't know that Paul Young would have any guitars. I didn't mean to offend Paul Young. or was Paul Young looking after like Mark Knopfler's guitars just for a weekend?
Yes, I know what you mean. Paul Young seems like he is primarily a vocalist and that he wouldn't necessarily know how to work a guitar, but I guess...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah.
I feel like I know we've mentioned Paul Young before because of fretless bass intros and stuff, but I have to say, I didn't expect any of this chat to come apart. We were dragging this car out of a garage, unseizing the brakes and trying to get it started for the first time. In fact, almost to the week we were... almost to the week it had gone in there 31 years ago because the tax ran out at the end of November in 89. Mm. And we managed to get it running. And it was just this... We got it running, Rich.
Wow.
Actually, quite quickly. Yeah, we got it running quite quickly.
I know you're not going to say what car it is, and I genuinely don't know because you haven't told me anything about this, but just give me a clue. How many cylinders did you get running?
Four cylinders we got running, which is okay. All of them.
All right.
Okay. And like I said before, think about the man's career choice. Very risk averse, very safe.
I'm thinking Japanese car. Reliable.
Interesting that you should think that. You're not right, but anyway. damn it. But you know, so I really enjoyed that. It was a great bit of trivia that I didn't know about Gino De Campo. And as I was driving back from that particular day's shoot, which I did really enjoy, heard John Bon Jovi's Dead or Alive on the radio. And it sort of instantly annoyed me because maybe I was just a bit tired. I've been out in the cold all day. I was just out. I had my heated seat on. It was actually the last journey I did in my Kia Soul Electric before I had to go back.
Oh, yeah, your soul's gone. I mean, your Kia Soul.
Honestly, I feel like my soul has gone because the car is fantastic.
What, have you got something else to replace it?
No, not really. I mean, no, not really. No, not at the moment. So if anybody's listening to this, no, I'm not going to say that. That's just awful.
Go on, you might as well.
I'm just angling for a long-term test car now. It's just wrong. No, I'm not going to say that. What I was going to say is Dead or Alive by
this
John Bon Jovi.
Please think of those less fortunate than you.
Well, no, it would be Chris Rea was going to phone me up and go, Johnny, what are you driving home for Christmas? And I go, to be honest, Chris, I've no freaking idea.
But I'm already home because it's coronavirus.
COVID Christmas.
You didn't think of that when you wrote the song, did you, Smart House?
It's COVID Christmas, and there's not going to be any
already
COVID caroling.
For Christmas, actually, more convenient. I'm just walking around the house in the same moccasins I've had on since April. I'm on my third beer, and it's only 12:30.
That's right.
Trousers don't fit me. Yeah. Oh, I've been eating more calories.
Dun, dun. Yeah, so I was listening to Dead or Alive.
And, oh, yes.
You know, there's that lyric that Jovi puts out on a steel... Jovi. Well, like, you know, shorten his name. It's a bit convoluted.
Are you suggesting perhaps that in that way that Mohammed Al-Fayed was accused of putting the Al into his name, it's an honorific that he wasn't entitled to have, that John Bon Jovi is in fact John Jovi and has given himself the Bon to try and ennoble his name?
He's John Jovi.
John Jovi.
It's John Jovi. And when... Sorry, I wasn't expecting this to go on so long, but yeah, it's
my goodness.
John Jovi. And when he says, he's really emotional, you know, on a steel horse I ride, because he's trying to evoke the cowboy element. I'm a cowboy.
Yes. Yeah,
and you know he's probably wearing leather trousers or something.
Oh, he's always wearing leather trousers, yeah. I
mean, with that, you know, in the cross stitch up the side, the sort of cross laces, they must have taken ages to remove and put back on. But anyway, not massively practical
trapped
trousers.
In my trousers.
Oh, if you need to get them off in a hurry, you're just doomed. Anyway, the practicalities aside, I just thought, steel horse I ride. I mean, clearly talking about a Harley Davidson, because like, what other motorcycle would he be referring to?
But nobody calls motorcycles steel horses. That's absolute bullshit.
I mean, they do. They do. They call them iron horses. They used to be a really successful American magazine, a Harley magazine called Iron Horse.
Really?
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I've never heard this before. I mean, I'm just...
Come on, Rich.
He said, I'm just going to get on the old steel horse. I would honestly assume you meant tractor.
Oh, so hang on. Is Bon Jovi?
Let's just call him Jovi from now on. Bon is gone. He's John Jovi.
He's massively into agriculture.
I'm a cowboy on a tractor I ride. I've got the lyrics up here. And they are...
I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride.
Yeah. I'm a cowboy on a tractor I ride. I'm wanted, brackets wanted, dead or alive, is how the lyric goes.
You sound like you're so partridgey when you're saying it with the brackets. I'm a cowboy on a steel horse I ride, in brackets, dead or alive.
I walk these streets a loaded six string on my back. Right, a loaded six string.
Right, okay.
Oh, I see. So he's sort of, I think he's trying to make his guitar sound like a gun for some reason or other. I play for keeps because I might not make it back. I've been everywhere still. I'm standing tall. I've seen a million faces and I've rocked them all. Is this drivel? What does that mean?
Rocked the faces.
He's rocked people's faces. Now, is that the old Def Leppard trick of using the word rock instead of the word fuck? But I've seen a million faces and I've fucked them all. I mean, exaggerating.
That just means Bon Jovi is just a rampant oral sex fanatic. and it's not really. I don't think it's the image he wants to portray. I mean, it could have been. I mean, hang on. He just rides around. I mean, he's riding around on a steel horse. In his head, that's a Harley Davidson. The reality is, what is it? Like a Tomos? And he's going to be on a Tomos.
Which Japanese bike maker does those faux Harleys? Is it Yamaha?
Oh, they've done some awful ones. Yeah, I mean, in the past, Yamaha have done some with the massive handlebars and the really sort of piddly looking
They just haven't quite got it right. I'm sure they're great.
Hole.
They're probably much nicer to ride than a Harley, are they? I don't know. I always think Harleys are horrible, but
they're possibly more reliable and more efficient. Mm. It's the gaping holes in the frame where you think an engine should be, but isn't.
What goes here? Nothing. I'll read you another lyric. Sometimes I sleep, sometimes it's not for days. The people I meet always go their separate ways. That doesn't make sense, Jovi. It's nonsense.
Well, so he's slightly... can you imagine being an suffering massive amounts of insomnia, riding a motorcycle which is well known for giving you dead man's hand because of the excessive vibration... you've got a guitar that you've sort of stretched and wedged onto your own back, which is going to damage the guitar, let's face it. The neck of the guitar is going to be under full tension unnecessarily. It's just too much complication here.
I've just searched Steel Horse, by the way. Steel Horse comes up in the Urban Dictionary as a motorcycle. There is also a Steel Horse Cafe in Abergavenny. Which is described as a biker-friendly cafe. So,
right, we're going there.
It's not tractors, then. A tractor-friendly cafe would be, you know.
So in our heads, Bon Jovi is on one of those small Kubota orchard tractors.
One of those ones is basically just a motorised sit-on wheelbarrow.
That's a steel horse. It's the guys in the middle of nowhere in rural Spain who go to work on the tractor every morning, but it does 6 miles an hour. But they're like, well, we're only on an almond farm just over the way. There's no point in, like, driving a car there. So I just get on the little Kubota thing.
Yeah, but there's lots of those, particularly in sort of Mediterranean countries, I guess because of the climate, amongst other things. There's a lot of those machines that you look at them... and they're going by at 6 miles an hour. And you go, have you made that? Or is that off the shelf? Either way, it's extraordinary.
It's a rotavator.
That's also a quad.
Mm. That's also a means to commute. I mean, I love the fact that you just commute on a... Yeah, it's a Swiss Army vehicle. I mean, we're missing a... In the UK, we're probably a bit snobby, and we'd be like, I wouldn't... Not going anywhere any distance on that. You've got to be joking. Over there, they're like, what's a Makita drill? Bollocks.
I want to ask you something, but I was just going to say, I'll wrap this up, John Bon Jovi. Bon. The lyrics to this song, which I've got up here at the bottom, is the songwriting credit is songwriters are credited as John Bon Jovi, and then I don't know why I find this funny. We're all familiar with the guitarist from Bon Jovi, is Richie Sambora.
That's right.
But his official songwriting credit, his name is given as Richard S. Sambora. I just find that funny.
Richard S. Sambora?
Yeah, but also the fact that his name is Richard. It's obviously so is mine. There's nothing funny. It's a fine name, and I'll fight you if you say otherwise. He's Jack Daniel's sodden rock pig, and somehow when you call him Richard, that doesn't quite work the same way.
Would you trade your surname for Sambora? If you could wake up tomorrow and be Richard Sambora versus Richard Porter, what would you do?
Ooh, I have to wear leather trousers?
Well, put it like this. I would I trade my name, Smith? Would I become Johnny Bon Jovi instead of Johnny Smith?
No, just Johnny Jovi.
Johnny Jovi. Yeah, it'd be Johnny Jovi.
Hang Precisely. On. What if we've taken the Bon away from John Jovi because we've decided he doesn't deserve it? So you can have it. Could be John Bon Smith.
Oh, that would be good.
Or Johnny Bon Smith.
Because it's almost John Bonham, but also Jovi as well.
You can't have the Jovi. You've got the Bon.
I've only got the Bon.
Otherwise, you're just taking all of it. You're becoming John Bon Jovi, which doesn't... No, that's going to be confusing. John Bon Jovi wakes up in New Jersey and goes... They have to go, sorry, John, but your name's John Smith now. He'd be like, what about my band? Well, they're going to be called Smith. This is Living on a Prayer by Smith.
And what? It's not no, the what? Smiths, it's Smith.
Yeah, just Smith.
Right, so just do not confuse them. This one's rocky, 80s uplifting, not. I'm going to do that, Rich. And I'm going to... Is it okay to perhaps have some slow motion of me getting off a really low-powered, pathetic motorcycle and taking my helmet off? And maybe I've got sort of sweat on my brow that gets wiped away in an attractive way. Is that okay?
Inexplicably, like when you're doing your late break show videos, just around the middle section, suddenly you'll be on a really big sort of tall bit of rock in Arizona, and then the shot will keep pulling back and back because it's from a helicopter, and you're just standing there on the rock. Also, most of your life is now black and white and in slow motion, so that could become inconvenient.
If you give me about 3 months' notice, I'll really work on my core, and then can I wear an open waistcoat with nothing underneath?
Knock yourself out.
I'm totally doing that. That's my New Year's resolution. You've pretty much kicked off my 2021 with that.
That's good. Cool.
That's where I'm aiming.
Now, from the cheesy link draw, moving entirely in slow motion brings me to what I wanted to talk to you about just briefly. As I saw your video, the Citroën Ami. Well, if I'm honest, I saw some of it. I started watching it and then I was interrupted. But
did you do what I did? Start watching a YouTube video that I was interested in and then the cat pissed on one of my children's beds? That's basically what happened to us. Yeah, and of course, it's like the blood of the aliens. It goes through everything.
Yes,
it goes through sheet, mattress, duvet, everything. Damn it. Yeah.
I've had too much coffee today.
I have as well. I'm a bit twitchy and I keep thinking about steel horses.
I'm going to have to like a big bowl of pasta or something for lunch just to soak it up. I'm really zinging today. What I was going to say is I noticed the top speed of that Citroën Ami, which for people who haven't seen this thing, go and watch Johnny's test of it, which is a little electric quadricycle. Its top speed is 26 miles an hour.
Yeah. I got 28 out of it on a downhill stretch.
But even in urban areas, there are still plenty of roads that are 30 miles an hour.
Mm.
And I think that is really... It's one of the reasons I think that car is daft and stupid. And it annoys me because, like the Twizy, it sort of sets back the progress and the acceptance of electric cars because it's a comedy car. And as you pointed out, it's not even really a car, is it? But it is, to all intents and purposes, a thing that impersonates a car. And it's just a
loophole car.
Stupid. Yeah, it's a loophole car. And it just looks daft. And it's a bit comical and useless. And it doesn't go very quickly or for very long before it's charging up. And I can see there is a sort of marginal use case for it in certain things. But I'm not even buying that, but it's the fact that
it doesn't do 30.
Yeah, where you think that will actually be inconvenient, and you will feel even more self-conscious when you are, in fact, at the head of a train of traffic, people going, he's not even doing the speed limit. I was just like, that's, could they not just turn it up a tiny bit just so it can hit 30?
I think they could. I mean, what was quite a challenge for me was when you go into a 30 limit and you realise you're going VMAX anyway, and you continue through all of the pedestrianised sort of areas, not on the pavement, but like through the very urban areas where you've got to be keeping an eye on your speed traditionally in a car, I've still got my foot flat on the mat in it, and I started to kind of adopt this, like, well, I know I can never break the speed limit in this, so I'm not going to use the brakes. So I'm leaving my foot flat down and doing a sort of really pathetic Sandra Bullock speed moment where I'm refusing to back off the gas. But of course, you're on skinny tires and there are some tight turns, so 26 miles an hour around some corners is actually really hard to do. So I found myself getting it. I actually got it out of shape a few times, but I didn't put that in the video because it would look irresponsible.
Is this like when I once completely lost control of an Austin Healey Frog Eye Sprite at about 15 miles an hour on a cobbled street in East London? And there was a brief moment where I honestly thought I was like full sideways, and putting opposite lock on in one of those with a really massive steering wheel when you're quite tall and your legs are basically impeding the movement of the wheel, and it's got a very long-winded steering box on it.
I was going to say, that's the way, like, it's 18 turns lock to lock, yeah.
It was. I came so close to just going into the side of a Merc S-Class at 10 miles an hour, but also no seatbelts. So I would have still probably smashed my face in on the windscreen or the wheel. I was just like, this is the most unheroic accident that's about to happen. And then thankfully it sort of slithered. It was okay.
But the good thing is you're a cowboy and on a sort of, I suppose it is steel mostly. On a steel...
on a plastic giraffe, I ride,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I've got my little... I always make notes in my phone of things I want to talk to you about. Mm. I'm just going to go through really quickly the ones... I've still got fizzy yogurt written in there because I still can't figure out why I put it there in the first place. But
did you have Network QVHS porn library written down like I did?
No, yeah, and so I feel like we should skip straight to
there is a story there, but I don't know if we've got time for it today. I got something I got told a couple of days ago, which is quite interesting. Definitely nothing to do with Vauxhall officially. and obviously a long time ago, hence VHS. Anyway, what were you going to say?
We're going to have to come back to this at some point, what you've just said. Anyway, no, I've also got on my list, my daughter came up with a new euphemism for having a poo, which I thought was quite useful and I intend to use, which is I sat her on the loo. She's three, so, you know, she still needs sort of looking after in these situations. I sat her on the loo and I went, have you done a poo? And she went, yes, Daddy, I've plopped one in. And I went, one in, that's quite good.
Because it's never referred to in, it's always out. That's interesting.
Yeah, but she meant into the water, I think, into the water of the loo. But I was like, from now on, I might just go, sorry, could you just excuse me, Your Majesty? I just need to go and plop one in. So, obviously very important. That's why I wrote it on. I had to share that with you. And the other one, I was passed yesterday by the last generation Vauxhall Corsa, the 5-door.
Yeah.
And the design of that car has always slightly bothered me. The sides, the treatment of the metal on the sides, there's something about it that's bothered me. It's got that line that runs along the bottom of the doors and then sort of sweeps up, but it's a kind of sharp line. And I always found it sort of somehow unpleasant. Now, I was walking along, I was listening to that really excellent BBC podcast by Chris Warburton about the history of ecstasy in the UK, which you recommended to me.
Yeah, that was really
good. I finally
got
around to listening to it. Yeah, it's really good, really interesting, some great music on it. And I realised what it is that bothers me about the last shape Vauxhall Corsa 5-door side sculpting is it looks like the sort of unpleasantly tensed neck muscles of a raver. Do you know what some
yeah,
of
I do got, know.
Where you just go, oh, you're going to tear a tendon in your neck if you keep gurning that hard. It's got like It's a gurner's neck on the side of a car. Have a look. It's weird.
Is it a bit like when a Cockney person says transit sport?
Every sinew above waist level is everything. Stretched to breaking
point. Everything is right out there like that. Yeah, sport.
The only thing I've got on my list is just, it simply says origin of ombudsman, because I know it's one of our favourite words, and I realise why I put this down. I should have done some research, but I haven't. But basically, ombudsman is a Swedish word.
Oh, it's Swedish?
Yeah. That's I should have left that for my fact at the end, but I've screwed that one up.
That's very, very good. I didn't know it was Swedish, so I've definitely learnt something, even if we go on from there. I think that's...
on that note... We probably should start trying to look for the exit ramp on this one, but
probably. I've written down. I'd only got one more note, and it was piss vistas. That was.
And this is the thing you messaged me about earlier in the week.
Yeah, because I had a really early start. I left the house just before 4 a.m, and I had to stop to do a number one. And I always pick a really good. Sort of field view off the road, off the beaten track for what I would now class as a piss vista. And I wonder if I'm not the only listener that does this. You think you need the toilet. You're in a spot away from the madding crowds. You're not exposing yourself. Let's not be daft here. And but you pick a spot which is quite, you know, scenic. I can't be the only one. Please tell me.
No,
not.
I'm sure. Well, you know me because you've been in the car with me when we've been in the countryside, and I suddenly go, "Oh, I need a wee," and then I have that dither of indecision. I can never find the right spot to. I'm very much like my dog. You know, I know when my dog needs a wee or a poo, or to plop one in, if you like. And but sometimes she sniffs the ground and then sort of goes, "No,
that one's not."
And you
right.
go, "Why? What has not met your exacting quality standards for having a dump dog?"
And yeah.
But somehow she won't do it. She just goes, "No, not there. I'm going to move on.
Not there.
Different
I'm
bit
keep
of
going.
Different bit of gutter, I think."
Yeah,
piss fisters are good. But when you messaged me, you were suggesting some kind of. High-quality coffee table book, as far as I could work
out. What I was suggesting more modern than that, Instagram. Instagram's all about pictures, and I thought, what about if people share their piss vistas, and it could become a very interesting hashtag. We're not sharing pictures of actual urination, because that's just unsavoury. No. But, I just thought, great, you could just go, yeah, great piss vista this morning. It could be on top of a hill. It could be, I don't know, a lesser trodden road. Yeah, I just think, why not? Bit of piss vista. I feel like I'm saying it out loud now and it's...
Yeah.
Shouldn't have, basically.
It's out there. Don't worry about it. I'm sure we'll just run with that. Right, well, that seems like an appropriate note to bring things to a shuddering halt.
I'm going to agree with you. I just want to sign off, really, apart from saying thank you to everybody who's listened to us this year. This won't be the last one of the year, I don't think, but anyway. I want to send a thanks to a chap called Jem Cutter, who sent me a little DM on Instagram to say really enjoyed these podcasts. They've made him chuckle throughout the last few months. He's having a bit of a hard time. He's had some brain surgery in hospital, so he's recovering now. And I wanted to say, Jem, thank you. And you did make me chuckle by your reference to the blokes that used to do the gardening near your parents with the collection of Citroen C15s. So there we go. Thank you, Jem. Hope you're well. Recover soon.
Yeah. Come on, Jem. It's not brain surgery. Oh, it is. Crikey. That's serious stuff. So get well, Jem. Hope you're all right, mate. And thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone for listening. I have three things to tell you. One, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show. There are many fine videos on there, including a review of the Citroen AMI electric quad cycle, which we've just been talking about. Two, I have a new book out. It's called Boring Car Trivia Volume 2. It's available exclusively on Amazon in paperback or as an ebook. And get in there pronto if you want a copy for Christmas. It's full of lots of arcane information about cars and that. And three, the popular football anthem World in Motion by New Order was not an original composition. It was an existing piece of music which Gillian Gilbert from the band had already written as the closing theme tune for a BBC Two show called Reportage. And which, when they were needed at short notice to make a football song, the band adapted into World in Motion.
Wow.
Well, go on YouTube.
Nothing
look
like making a football song at short notice.
Yeah, theme tune, yeah. But yeah, there we go. That's it then. That's it for this week's Smith and Sniff. We'll see you again same time next week. Thank you, please. Goodbye.
Thank you, please. I'm Johnny Smith. On a steel horse I ride.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.